And at lunchtime, they used to broadcast this verse. And around about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there was a flood of telephone calls. And people were complaining, "You have not broadcast this Sanskrit verse." And they said, "Yes, what is the problem?" They said, "Well, we haven't been able to eat since lunchtime." And what people were doing is taking their soup and their pizza and their spaghetti and putting it in front of the radio, on top of which was a picture of Gaur-Nitai and Radha Krishna and Prabhupada. And they were waiting till these verses came in the radio broadcast, and then they would eat. So this is faith. This is devotion. Anyway, this is a very important verse because it sums up the leader of the Vaishnavas' feelings about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's a verse that came out of his mouth when he saw Lord Chaitanya. And it said, when he saw the Lord off in the distance, this golden incarnation of Krishna, he fell down like a rod and offered these lines. So we can do these lines. Namo Maha Varanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha. Someone else? Should be well practiced at this one. Eyes closed. Namo Mahavaranyaya Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha. Ladies. Namo Mahavaranyaya Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha. It's another verse here by Rupa Goswami in which he expresses his feelings that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may bless everyone who worships him. He says, Anarpita charim chirat karunaya vatirna kalo samarpayitum unatojvala rasam svabhakti shriyam Hari purata sundara dyuti kadamba sandipataha sada hridaya kandare spuratu va shachinandana. He says, may that Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Shachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy, to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. So he says here that Krishna is Mahavaranyavatara. Many avatars have come, but this is the most merciful incarnation because he is giving the highest thing in the lowest age. Krishna Prema has never been given before by any incarnation. Even Krishna himself. And this is a wonder that Krishna, when he comes, he displays the entire spiritual world like a holiday brochure. You go into a travel agent and there's so many wonderful pictures of what the destination is going to be like. There's a swimming pool and a hotel and a snooker table, there's palm trees, and lots of pictures of people sitting in their swimsuits sipping fruit juice under a blazing sun. And after you get through all the pictures, then comes the price. But the pictures are there to attract you to go to this distant land. And similarly, when Krishna comes, he displays the entire spiritual world. Not just little bits and pieces, not just one or two aspects, but the entire spiritual world, the whole of Goloka Vrindavan. So wouldn't it have made sense that when Krishna came, he also gave the means to actually attain him? Well, he did. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, he says that you sarva dharmam prajaja, you give up everything and surrender to me, but that's a little difficult, isn't it? Anyone having difficulty in surrendering to Krishna? Yeah? The forest of hands went up as thick as the forest of Vrindavan. If we had a hand for every person who said, yes, I'm finding surrendering to Krishna difficult, it would look like a forest. So Krishna is merciful, but there is one person who is more merciful even than Krishna. God is greatest. There is someone who is greater than God, and that is when God expands his own mercy in the form of a devotee whose only wish is to give him pleasure, and that is Srimati Radharani. Many people, we talked about this the other day, many people in other religious traditions have a difficulty with God being all male. They say this has led to injustice. And, you know, there's a certain amount of truth in that. Well, we say our answer to this is not to try to ascribe any particular biological gender to God. When we say Krishna is male, we don't mean that sort of male. As Krishna says to Rukmini, he says, why do you want me? He said, you better to have a man with a mustache. No, she says that. That's right. He says, why don't you have, you could have had anybody as your husband. And she says, I would not want anyone with, you know, a mustache and beard and not just any ordinary person. So we cannot ascribe any biological gender to Krishna. It's not when we say, oh, Krishna is male, that we mean male like you, with all the hairy and smelly bits. Prabhupada said, Krishna, he never gets older than a 16-year-old. And he says, one time they asked, does he ever have hair on his chin? And Prabhupada said, simply peach fuzz. Just peach fuzz. He is always a youth. But Krishna is never alone. He's always accompanied by his devotees. And his supreme devotee is Srimati Radharani. And what is her identity? She is Krishna's Kladini Shakti. The very expansion of Krishna's ability to give pleasure is Radharani. So Radharani is the incarnation of devotional service. Now when we say incarnation of devotional service, incarnation is an English word which means a spirit that comes into a body, incarna, that comes into a body. But this is not the understanding of Srimati Radharani. Never was there a time when there is no Radharani. Krishna, we say, you know, Krishna expands as Radharani, but there is no point in time when Radharani is not there. She is eternally Krishna's consort. Not that at one time Krishna was standing alone in the middle of a field and suddenly thought to himself, I am lonely. I should have some cowherd boys and some trees and some cows and some pleasure potencies all around me. No. But rather like the sun and the sunshine, there is no concept of being them being separated. You know? Wherever there is the sun, there's also the sunshine. So Krishna is the summum bonum. It's a Latin word that Prabhupada uses at the beginning of the Bhagavatam. It means the sum total of all existence. So wherever there's Krishna, there's the entirety of the spiritual world, entirety of the spiritual sky. There's never any separation between Krishna and that which accompanies Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada said, two things you'll never see a picture of. One is Krishna old. Oh, three things, actually. One is Krishna old. One is Krishna miserable. He said, you will never see a picture of Krishna going to work, putting on his clothes to go to the factory, and he is looking miserable because he has to go to work. He says, Krishna, he says, there's no work. And even in Bhagavad Gita, he says, there's no work that's described to me. It's only when I come down here that I have to do some work, otherwise people will not follow. They themselves will become lazy. He said, similarly, you'll never see a picture of Krishna standing by himself. Sometimes there's popular pictures in India done of Krishna simply standing with a flute. No cows, no cowherd boys, no gopis, no trees. He said, no, this is not an authentic picture of Krishna. Krishna's always surrounded by his devotees, always surrounded by his friends. And they're rendering different types of devotional service to him. You know, one devotee is picking the flowers, another devotee is sewing the flowers up into flower garlands. Another devotee is thinking, oh, we can have these different types of flower garlands tomorrow. Another devotee is, Krishna's just finished one meal and washed his hands, and already another devotee is thinking how to offer Krishna a different type of lunch pack while he's out looking after the cows. So in this way, at every moment, there's devotees either thinking of devotional service that they'd like to offer to Krishna, or actually performing devotional service by rendering it to Krishna. One time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati went to a temple in South India, and he noticed one unusual thing, that the sannyasis in that temple, it was in Udupi, which is near Mysore, Mangalore, Bangalore. He saw that the sannyasis were running from one service to another. They didn't sit down at any time. They were running between one arati and the other arati and the other arati. And he came back and brought this up with his guru and said, ah, yes, this is the right mood of devotional service. Right mood of devotional service, running from one act of devotion to another. So the spiritual world is full of devotion. That is like we go to Disneyland. Well, some of us go to Disneyland. It's very hard to forget Mickey Mouse. You cannot forget Mickey Mouse. He's there everywhere, you know. So in Vrindavan or in the spiritual world, Goloka or Gokul Vrindavan, you cannot forget Krishna for a moment. So just as Disneyland is totally set up for mouse worship, so Vrindavan is totally set up for Krishna worship. No matter where you go in the spiritual world, Krishna is the center of attention. But there's one thing that Krishna doesn't understand. Oh, how is this? Krishna's God, but he doesn't understand something? What is the one thing that Krishna doesn't understand? Yeah, Radharani. And this is the internal reason why Krishna comes to this world. He doesn't understand what it is about him that Radharani finds so attractive that she's so devoted to him. Because he can't. One time Krishna was in, where was it? In Gokul. And he looked at his own reflection in the floor. The floor was very shiny in Nanda Maharaj's house, and he looked at his reflection in the floor, and even Krishna became attracted by his own reflection. But still, he doesn't understand what it is about him that Radharani finds so attractive. And he certainly cannot experience what Radharani feels for him. So for this reason, sometimes, just sometimes, he likes to come and experience Radharani's love for him by coming in a particular form in which he can experience that. But he can't come as Narayan and experience that. He can't come even as Krishna and experience that. He must come in the form as a devotee. So that form is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Goswamis have stated that it is Krishna coming who is colored the same color as Radharani. And also with the mood of Radharani. And therefore we have this verse, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a combination of Radha and Krishna. Krishna who has come covering himself with the mood of Radharani. So there's also external reasons why Krishna comes. Does anybody remember them? one reason why Krishna comes at this particular time? To establish the Yuga Dharma. Krishna is very punctual. Even though the spiritual world is timeless, when Krishna incarnates in the material world, he always comes on time. You know, unlike anything. Except maybe Indian railways, they always come on time. So Krishna always comes on time because he obeys his own rules, if you like, for when to come. Simply so people can understand who is an incarnation and who isn't. Otherwise, anyone can stand up and say, I'm an incarnation of Krishna. Well, and then they have to look up in the timetable. Well, I'm sorry, you're not due for another few thousand years. Someone sent me a leaflet, a pamphlet actually, 16 pages. And the picture on the front was an old man with a flower garland and a posy of flowers. And he was wearing a Marks and Spencer's shirt with slacks. And underneath it said, the Kalki avatar has come. And I thought to myself, good try. But if Kalki does come, he won't come with a Marks and Spencer's shirt and gray flannel slacks. Then someone else was telling me about another Kalki that's supposed to have come, get this, in Bognor Regis. Now, sometime Prabhupada was asked why Krishna comes in India always. He says Krishna can come anywhere he likes, but he likes to come to the nice places. So here we have Kalki coming in Bognor Regis. Now, I've got nothing against Bognor Regis. It's probably a very nice place. Nice high street, lovely people. But I have my doubts that Kalki avatar would choose this place to come to. But you would not believe it. Some people actually believed that this man who was in his middle 30s was actually the Kalki avatar. And he was telling people, you heard about that plane crash that happened the other day? This is just a small manifestation of my abilities as a destroyer. And so he actually got people worried, and there was 30 or 40 people. Now, of course, every time an avatar comes, there's also there's also the divine Leela of the spiritual world. So every time someone is a fake avatar, they also try doing this as well. So unfortunately, this man was consorting with the wives of his male followers. And they all came together and they said, this is going on. And they came to him and they said, you're not the Kalki avatar, are you? And he said, well, no. And he was driven out of town. So many, many different incarnations come. So in order to make sure that we know this is a real incarnation and this is bogus, Krishna also agrees to come on time. First he makes the time that he should come, then he appears on that time. Unlike many devotees who make an appointment, I will come, and then break that appointment. So Krishna is punctual. So it was time for the Yuga incarnation, and it was also time for the Yuga Dharma, because along with the incarnation comes the process of the age, and the process of the age for Kali Yuga is Harinam Sankirtanam. And this is predicted in Srimad Bhagavatam. Kaler Dosha Nideira Jan. That this age of Kali is like an ocean of faults. The Bhagavatam, you know, that verse is there in the end. And at the beginning of the Bhagavatam also, there's this verse. Prayin alpayusha sabhya kalavasmin yuge janaha. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya yupadrata. People are mad in Kali Yuga. They hardly have any affinity for spiritual practice. Their lives are very short. They're always disturbed. And they can't get anything together. That's at the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And at the very end of the Bhagavatam, there's these verses, Kaler Dosha Nidei Rajan, that the ocean of the Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. How are we possibly going to get any deliverance? There is one way. By fearless chanting of the holy names of the Lord. That's there. And in the scriptures also we find Harinam, Harinam, Eva Kevalam. There's only one way. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranita. There's one way. Usually when people say there's one path to God, you know, us liberal-hearted Vaishnavas who have accepted that all paths lead to Krishna, we go, hang on a minute, I'm not really sure about that. But actually, in the Kali Yuga, we need something that is very, very potent and very, very strong. And therefore, the business of the incarnation for this age is to give the Yuga Dharma. That had already happened before. There's other Kali Yugas when the golden incarnation comes, but this is very, very special. It doesn't give this Krishna Prema so easily. This is the exclusive business of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the main reason Krishnadas Kaviraj, who wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the authorized one of the two authorized biographies of Lord Chaitanya, he says there's another reason. And he says this is even the main reason why Lord Chaitanya comes. Anybody know that reason? Main reason. Any ladies? Main reason. Well, to inaugurate the chanting, yeah? I'm looking for the... There's one reason where he says... Yes! Advaita Acharya's... You were going to say that, weren't you? Advaita... I know. Advaita Acharya's request. Krishna says, I become purchased if someone just takes the end of a tulsi flower and offers it with love and devotion to me. He says, I become purchased by that devotee. So what to speak of Advaita Acharya offering flowers and tulsi buds and loud cries. And he was saying, my dear Lord, this Kali Yuga is so fallen that the only person who can save us in this Yuga is you yourself. Only if you come yourself will people be delivered. I don't see any other way. And he had a vision of Radha and Krishna, and his wish was fulfilled. And the biography of Advaita Acharya by Ishan Thakur states that after puja, the flowers went into the Ganga, and these flowers, instead of going downstream on the Ganga, they went upstream. And who should be bathing in that spot but Sachimata herself? And the flowers came and brushed Sachimata's abdomen, and thereby linking the puja of Advaita Acharya with the imminent arrival of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That place you can still go to. There's some very nice stories connected with that place. But eventually, after how many miscarriages? 8 miscarriages. And of course, what had happened actually was that Advaita Acharya had gone every time he heard that Sachimata was pregnant, and he'd offered his obeisances. She'd had a miscarriage. And eventually she started hiding from him. She said, you know, this is bad luck. These obeisances are not doing me any good. But eventually, on February, it was February the 18th, 1486. And there was auspicious, we could say inauspicious signs, because there was a lunar eclipse on that day. And, of course, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has said that why should the full moon appear in the sky when the full moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared? Therefore, she kept herself hidden. She kept her full illumination hidden. And in the sky, the moon was hidden by the eclipse. And traditional during an eclipse is that all the Hindus go to the Ganga and you stand in the river up to your chest, and with hands in the air, you call out. Everyone can put your hands in the air. Hari!
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 Hari! Thank you. So seeing this, all the Muslims who were sort of in charge of that area at that time, they also came down, and they were mocking. The Muslims were looking, and they were going, Hari, Hari, Hari. So both Hindus and Muslims, everybody was actually chanting Hari. The Hindus by, astrological ritual, and the Muslims by mockery. But everybody was chanting. So at that time, when everybody was chanting, that was when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And of course, if you look at the altar here, you will see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is underneath a tree. Can you see the bark of the tree in the middle of the two altars? and specially flown in from Navadvip. We have this neem tree here. It is a neem tree, isn't it? Yes? Of course it is. So underneath this tree, Shachimata's child took birth. And of course, he became known as Nimai, one who takes birth. Now, neem tree is very medicinal. And it is said that if you... anybody ever had a neem leaf? You chew it? It's not the best thing to chew, is it? But if you have some disease, you can take some neem leaves and throw them in a pint of boiling water and boil them up and drink the tea. Tastes horrible, but it does you good. Just like chanting Hare Krishna. It tastes horrible to someone who's attached to this material world, says Rupa Goswami. Someone who has lost the taste for Krishna. When you pick up a bead bag, it's, oh no, do I really have to chant this many rounds? Oh dear. But after chanting, then your body becomes, your mind becomes, the heart becomes cleansed, and the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, becomes a source of the greatest sweetness, the greatest nectar. So similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, my dear Lord, you have brought the Oshodi. Enechi Oshodi Maya, Nashibaru Lagi. How does it go? Harinama Mahamantra Lautumi Magi. You have brought the medicine. Now, in the West, we like to make our medicines banana flavor and raspberry flavor and any flavor, but the real flavor of the medicine, which is usually quite bitter. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought a medicine. So why medicine? Because it does you good, but at first it may not immediately taste so nice. But take it anyway because it's doing you good. So here we see the Lord underneath the neem tree. Now at that time, Haridas Thakur had already taken birth. Advaita Acharya had already taken birth. Chandrasekhar had already taken birth. Achyutananda had already... Acharya Ratna had already taken birth. Of course, Jagannath Mishra and Shachimata, the parents of God himself, had already taken birth. So Lord Chaitanya, just like Krishna, had already sent so many devotees to prepare the ground. And the best preparation was that, you know, everything had been set up ready for him to take birth. But at that moment, Advaita Acharya began dancing along with Haridas. And no one could figure out why these two were dancing. What do they know that we don't? And sometime later it became very clear. So actually I have a photograph here. You can pass this around among you. This is from the temple that was established by both Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Actually, for many, many years afterwards, they couldn't figure out where the actual birthplace of Lord Chaitanya was. There was in one village, on what appeared to be the opposite side of the Ganges, a mound. And this hill was covered in... you can... ladies first, you can pass on. The mound was covered in tulsi trees. And any time anyone tried to cut those tulsi trees, they started to vomit blood. So no one, for hundreds of years, you know, the rule in that village was no one touches this hill, which is covered in tulsi trees. We don't touch it. You know, it was a Muslim village, you see. But no one wanted to go and touch it. So eventually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he located through the use of old maps and figuring out how the Ganges had moved place and this hill. And eventually, by taking Jagannath Das Babaji there in a wicker basket, which is how he would travel, his servant Vasudev would carry him on his head. And sometimes he would have to prop his eyelids open so that he could see, because he was 120 years old. So eventually he came to that place, and he hadn't moved for weeks and weeks and weeks. And he came to that place, and he jumped out of the basket, and it says that he jumped 10 feet in the air. And he shouted at the top of his voice, Gauranga Janmabhumi! He says, this is the birthplace of Gauranga. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, from this time I will dedicate myself to going door to door and begging one rupee from each Hindu gentleman in Calcutta, you kindly make a temple, help me build a temple in this birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So because of his work and the work of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, we have a place that we can go to and we can see the actual birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not only that, but the family deity, the Adhokshaja Vishnu of Jagannath Mishra himself.